DW.
Yeah, we saw like in Barmer on the main road, you know, most buildings are somehow damaged or, you know, were destroyed. You can see like there's two banks that were robbed by Boko Haram and then set on fire. There's like, you know, a long row of shops where no, you know, soldiers live in. They were torched from inside. Some buildings are still standing. And you can see in all buildings either, you know, signs from Boko Haram. You know, they've wrote like God is great on most buildings, or also, you know, painted the flag of Islamic State. So that's left. But there's no life going on. I mean, the state government have started to truck like cement blocks because they hope to rebuild the city, but these blocks are just standing idle next to the road because it's just not, you know, safe enough to, you know, to rebuild the city. Nobody could live there for now.
So, talking about complete devastation then.
Yes, definitely. And then Boko Haram, they also destroyed the schools and, the palace of the traditional ruler, which is located in the city center. And that's also where the soldiers, they have set up, you know, a large tent. You can't live there. I mean, Boko Haram basically set the city on fire. They destroyed schools and residential buildings and supermarkets, shops, banks. So it's quite an eerie, you know, atmosphere. And it shows a bit the challenge. The military has retaken much of the territory that had lost to Boko Haram, but with all this vast bushland and woods, it's very difficult to really actually control the area, and they can't guarantee that Boko Haram won't strike back. It doesn't take much to stage an ambush on a road.
You went along with the military. Can you describe your experience with them?
Yeah, I mean, it's about 70 kilometers from Maiduguri to Barmer. Like the first 30 kilometers are somehow okay. You still see some, you know, farmers going to work, and there comes one small town called Kudunga where many people have returned.
So you're driving, are you driving along a dirt road at this point, or can you just sort of give us a sense of what it's like?
Yeah, it's a tarmac road, it's potholed. And we were going with the military, you know, they had provided us an escort, so we're traveling with them. You know, in the front was a gun truck. It's like a Jeep with a mounted anti-aircraft gun. So the first like 20, 30 kilometers are somehow okay until this small town Kudunga on the way. And then life kind of stops. It becomes completely deserted. You just see like burnout tanks on the road and, you know, on the side, abandoned petrol stations or farmhouses. But there's no activity at all. It's just, you know, thick bushland, trees lining the streets. That's why the army is so nervous of any kind of ambushes. And they, you know, they just, you know, open fire anyway as the convoy, you know, rumbles along on the road.
What are they shooting at?
Just at trees or buildings or ahead of the road. I mean, they explained it as in a way that they want to signal to anyone out there, the enemy, that a convoy is on the way, so they don't even dare to approach.
So it's preemptive fire then? They're just shooting?
Exactly. Yeah, and then the commander later in Obama explained it to us, you know, the idea is that, you know, they want to provoke any enemy into returning fire so that person then gives away his position. I mean, we had our driver, you know, he was, you know, with one hand he was navigating the road, the one just, you know, firing his guns through his open window. They're just firing randomly and in, you know, into the bush, just hoping that nobody is out there.
What was going through your head when this was going on? Have you ever experienced anything like this before?
I mean, I've covered other war zones like Libya, but I mean, I was still a bit shocked. I mean, the trip had been arranged by the top commander, you know, in charge of the Boko Haram operations, who kind of assured us that they are totally in control. I also don't think that there was an imminent danger on the road, but still it was a bit scary to know that, you know, that they have to open fire on the way, which kind of shows that, you know, they're not really in control. I mean, technically, yes, but they just don't know who's out there, so they just open fire anyway.
Let's get into control. A video came out this week, I believe on Wednesday it came out, released by Boko Haram. And in that video, there was an unidentified man who suggested that Abubakar Shekau is first of all still alive, the commander of Boko Haram, who was supposed to be killed or gravely wounded in August. And also that they're making threats that they're going to capture the Nigerian President Buhari. What do you think? Do you buy any of those claims?
I think they want to show that they're still there. I mean, obviously that they lost much of their territory, but they kind of retreated to this, you know, Sambisa forest, which is a vast forest on the outskirts of Bama, stretching up until the border to Chad.
Right, that's where the video was recorded, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a place. I mean, when we met the commander in Bama, he said that that's a place they can't penetrate. I mean, they've tried several times to take the forest and have surrounded it, but you know, their tanks and, you know, artillery guns are no use on the dirt tracks in the forest, especially now in the rain season. So that gives Boko Haram some kind of, you know, refugee where they can always stay and operate from. It's also where people believe the girls from Chibok, the small town, you know, where more than 200 schoolgirls were captured 3 years ago, are believed to be, you know, hiding or held by Boko Haram. So, I mean, I think the video, they just wanted to show that they are still there, and, you know, and that to counter the claim from the army that basically the you know, insurgency has been crushed and Sheikh Kau, the leader, you know, is still alive. I mean, the army claimed, I think, 4 or 5 times he had been killed, but every time, you know, they put out a video saying that he's still there. So there definitely is some activity left from Boko Haram.
With the violence seemingly omnipresent, the devastation that you described, can let's switch gears now to the humanitarian situation in northeast Nigeria. There have been reports of severe malnutrition. Can you confirm that? You were up there for a week, right, Ulf?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we saw, you know, in Bama, we went to a hospital where just a pregnant woman with her 2 or 3 children, you know, they basically, you know, I mean, had just survived Boko Haram. They were farmers, but then had managed to escape from Boko Haram, and they had clear signs of malnutrition, you know, very thin body. You could even see the bones.
And she was pregnant.
Yes, as well that, yeah. And they had already, like, I think 5 children. I mean, 3 children were left behind with a husband who's a farmer, and the mother and the other children went to Bama. That happens every day. When we traveled back from Bama to Maiduguri, you know, another woman approached the convoy and, you know, asked to get a lift. She apparently as well has just, you know, escaped Boko Haram. So the UN says like up to 5.5 million people are in need of food. So it's quite a severe situation.
Were you able to talk to any of these people face to face? What did they say to you?
Yeah, I mean, we spoke to quite a few. I mean, they said that obviously now they're being taken care of, but they fear to go back. They just don't think it's safe enough. I mean, you can see, like, Maiduguri, the main city, used to have around 1.5 million people, you know, 7 years ago when the insurgency started. Now it's 5 million. I mean, the camps are all overcrowded. People, they set up tents now in the streets. Or they want to go back, but they know they really can't because it's just not secure enough to go farming, which is the main economic activity in the north. So they were going to depend a long time on UN or other food agencies to survive.
A representative of the UN said that a famine like we've never seen before could happen in this area. Are you personally afraid for these people, Ulf?
I think those who made it into safety, they're getting taken care of, but nobody knows how many million people are left there out in the woods and the bushland, and that is quite scary because, I mean, the UN or the other agencies can't really reach these people. It's just too insecure to go there, and it's impossible for them to resume farming. So that and we also know that Boko Haram, many of the fighters are hungry, so that it's definitely a threat, the famine there.
This report was brought to you by DW.